Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life, answering your 21st century questions and finding solutions to everyday dilemmas, like, is it okay to be turned on when you see someone dressed up as a superhero? And is it the correct etiquette to go back and make sure you've listened to all episodes of the podcast?
Yes, it is.
And of course, what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? But we're not usual agony aunts, are we? William Hansen, are you still the UK's leading etiquette expert?
I'm a leading etiquette expert in the podcast world.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we're not William Hansen.
No, we're not Jordan North. I'm more restoring order, you're more restraining order.
Best one in ages.
Well,
very good.
Don't shake my hand, shake the hand of James D.
James D.
So thank you to James for that. That's very, very good.
Who are we going to toast to today? How many bottles of Dubonnet do we go through?
I've still got four under my desk left over from our Shepherd's Bush Empire show that I'm bringing in two at a time to the studio. We've got a different type of gin as well.
That's the gin bottle.
Zesty orange gin.
Oof.
No.
You're such a spoil sport.
New listeners to our podcast.
That was me, George. That's my arse. I've had a week of it, babe. Diego's actually in with us today.
Yes.
We've seen him quite a lot. So it's me, babe. I went to the party of a week, and let's just say dogging in your terms is completely different to my terms.
Dogging in what?
I don't know. Just riffing on it.
This is gin and Dubonnet we're having, by the way. It's two parts Dubonnet, one part gin. It was a favourite drink of the Queen Mother and our late Queen, and it's enjoyed by us as well.
We have it every episode. If you're just listening for the first time, we drink it every episode, and I also do stupid impressions. Diego is our executive producer's dog.
Yes, luxury whippet.
He's called Ben. The person. He did start off as producer Ben, and now he's executive.
Well, we find out now, a few weeks ago, he started off as assistant producer Ben, and he was masquerading as producer.
Was he only an AP? I mean, I don't mean that as only an AP, but...
No. And now he's... did you want to say something?
At that stage, I was not named in the podcast as well.
Yeah,
shut up, you. It's all about you, Daddy. Fucking hell. Jesus.
They were halcyon days.
Shut up and make me some tea. Anyway.
Gene Devers, as always, if you need our help.
No, who are we toasting to?
Oh, we haven't done that. I think as he's also sitting in the studio today, and it was his birthday 2 weeks ago, let's toast Alex, our wonderful video producer. All those lovely things that you see on TikTok. YouTube, and Instagram. That's all his hard work.
To Alex, our video editor.
Alex. Don't drink. Good.
Happy birthday. We've just given him a yum-yum as well. Me and Alex had a good few drinks at your wedding.
Quite a few people had quite a few drinks at my wedding.
Last time I seen Alex, it was we said goodbye and I left him in McDonald's. And apparently he kicked off in McDonald's, right? And he got so...
I have heard this.
He got so frustrated in McDonald's that he went behind the counter to collect his order.
And that's why he's no longer allowed in McDonald's.
He literally went behind the counter to collect his... But I, if you go to Mackey's and you're pissed and you're starving and they're taking forever, I would share your frustrations. Happy birthday, Alex. As always, if you need our help with something, then we would love it if you got in touch. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sextedmyboss.com, or you can tweet or send us a message on Instagram @sextedmyboss. That's how you do it.
I don't do it that dramatically, and I definitely do it more coordinated than that.
Or you can write to William. He promises a handwritten reply in his own letter to paper. The address for that is also on the website, sextedmyboss.com.
Can I just talk about your hoodie?
Yeah.
Jordan's in a black hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
and it seems to have a piece of gaffer tape over the pocket on the left. Have you broken your hoodie?
No, it's the design.
Can I rip it off?
No, don't you friggin' dare. Why is this doing that today?
How is that design? With it's like there's a sort of a bird sewn into it on as an icon. And
it's a
and
it's,
then there's a piece of gaffer tape
it's
halfway
not,
over
it's
it.
It's the design of it. It looks cool.
It doesn't.
It does.
What's the brand?
Axel Arigato. Oh. Yeah. They usually do trainers.
Axel Arigato. I think I've seen his films. Okay.
Good one.
Well, nice.
It's nice. What have you got on? Half-zip.
No, I haven't got a half-zip. There's no zip at all. This is just a standard Navy Massimo Dutti jumper.
Who?
Massimo Dutti. I've seen his films as well. I think he's done a few with Axel Arigato. Oh. But yeah, that's what I'm wearing. Mm. Thanks for asking.
Anyway.
Since we last met.
We've seen each other. I see you more than my own family these days.
Well, can I ask two of your family to move to Spain?
So we went to William Hansen's for dinner on Saturday night. And hear me out here.
Okay, oh God, here
we go. I'm the first to take the mick out here.
Yes.
And I know sometimes I give you a lot of stick and stuff.
No, never.
But you are a fantastic cook.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You are such a great cook. You really are, and an exceptional host. We all had such a fantastic night. William made a curry on Saturday night in the sous vide. Mm. And
well, technically, the sauce was made in the pan and then it all got cooked in bags.
It was fantastic. He made a chicken tikka masala. For starters, we had beef. We said all this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did the menu last week.
And that dessert, that pudding, were well nice.
Cookie dough. With vanilla ice cream. The most expensive vanilla ice cream Waitrose had to offer, although potentially wasn't expensive about 3 months ago, but it is now. So that's good.
So it was great, thank you. What's the etiquette of turning up to dinner party with beers and chips?
I had forgotten on Saturday night at 7:35 when you arrived, I had forgotten that...
Oh. What? Early as well.
Well, no, that, to 5 arrive. To 10 minutes late is perfect.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. And those who arrive like 20 minutes late, terribly rude. And
Kat and Ben were late. We'll get into this. Kat and Ben were late.
They weren't late.
Turned up with Diego and Kat and Ben had an argument at the train station.
I had forgotten that in the podcast that week, you had said that you would bring chips and beer. And you are a man of your word, and so you brought chips and beer.
Were you offended?
I wasn't offended.
Promise, because I felt a bit rude.
No, I promise I wasn't.
And you cooked those chips really well.
Yes. If I had... Well, I mean, you do nothing. You stick them on a tray and stick them in the oven. I mean, there's no skill involved.
Yeah, but you cooked them good.
Okay, thank you.
Because I like a curry half and half, and I always whinged it down here. Everyone goes, well, don't do gravy, don't do half and half. You don't get half rice, half chips when you go for a curry in Chinese. But you made me half.
No, because it's chips are not Indian or Chinese.
Also, can I just say, I brought the chips. Everybody had chips that night.
Somebody didn't. I don't think Ben did. No.
He upheld.
I had two just to appease you, because you insisted I had some. But the Southerners...
Mikey did.
Mikey had it.
Christ alive, I've not had chips with curry for ages, Chad. This is like being back home. This is like proper Wakefield curry, this. Thanks, Mikey.
It was good. It kind of worked with the chips. But I suspect I might have just preferred it with just rice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I left loads of beers at yours as well. Because if you're having a curry, you've got to have either Cobra or Kingfisher.
Is that the etiquette?
Yeah. So I brought 6 Cobras. They weren't cheap, them, you know.
Well, I have the 3 that were not consumed, I have passed on to lovely Tom next door.
Why don't you give them to Tom next door?
Sorry, is there a time delay?
Well...
I literally just said that.
But you could have, brought them back. Well, you could have kept them in your fridge. You know when you've had a...
I don't have space for them.
You know when you've had a proper shit day and you just want a beer but you can't be bothered going pub? Just crack open a bottle, have a beer... Put Dress to Impress on ITV2 after work and just chill. You could have done that. That's what
I do. The day I do that is the day you can shoot me in the forehead.
Hey, Dress to Impress is a really good show. I like...
I'm sure it's great. It's the cracking open, whatever you said.
Crack open a bottle.
I've never cracked open a bottle in my life.
Before Mike gets home from work, just that chill time. You know that chill time before you start making your tea and stuff?
Dinner.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I normally have... do you know what I am into? And this will come as a shock to a few people. I love a 0% gin.
Oh, yeah, you're really into
that. It is, and it does taste, some of them are really, really good, and it does taste like a normal gin and tonic.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's often what I'll do, Monday to Friday.
Is that what you're into?
Mm. Okay. So, yeah, I'm into 0%.
That and fisting, wow. Okay.
I just say that is not true.
But what else from the night? It was a really good night.
Well, there has been a running theme of dinners, sex at my boss dinners, whether we're all together or not. When I went over to producer Ben's house and Mike and I had dinner with him and Kat, the bottle of wine that I had brought, Ben put on top of the fridge, opened the fridge, bottle of wine fell off, smashed, hit the floor, went everywhere, all up his walls. It's still there. So red wine was spilt. When I came to your house, that bottle of red wine fell on me.
You knocked it, though.
Recollections may vary.
You knocked the bloody wine.
Well, it's because you had got me very drunk on champagne and gin and tonic already.
Don't tell people I'm drunk on champagne.
And...
doesn't go... I might have opened a bottle of champagne.
Because we were coming over.
Yeah.
Special
and
time.
I had some in the fridge.
Yeah. And...
what? And Dex sent me a big bloody thing. What?
You worried about... Anyway...
So, and I thought, well, that's a good time to...
Yes.
Anyway, right.
And so then you come to ours, and we're sitting... We had repaired into the sitting room for after dinner. We were having sort of some more wine and coffee, tea, hand-thrown after-dinner mints, that sort of thing. And Kat, who was, I think, in the middle of doing an impression of either Margaret Thatcher or Theresa May.
It was one of them.
And...
Kat's so funny. She's so funny.
She spilt wine on my rug.
Yeah.
Red wine.
I've never seen her move so fast. She was halfway through an impression and she was being very, what's the word, we hands.
Expressive.
Expressive. She went, and we all gasped together.
Yes. Thankfully, it wasn't a lot and it has come out. And I did my best Hyacinth routine and told Kat that it really didn't matter and it will come out and she can buy me a new rug, that sort of thing.
Also, Diego turned up. I did, yeah, I thought I'd come along, say hello. And it was the funniest thing ever. We were all sat down. And Diego, we were all sitting down. You're such a knob. And Diego just plunked himself on your new settee. You should have seen William's face. And then Kat...
I think we call it a sofa in our house.
Kat got him off.
And I'm sorry?
Kat got the dog off.
Removed the dog, yeah.
And then he sat on the settee again. Kat tried to move him again. And then we decided to just put a blanket down. You should have seen William's face when...
I suggested the blanket.
When the dog was on the new settee. Oh, sorry, William, I didn't know, babe. I just wanted to port myself there and have a little listen to what you were on about. Yeah.
He was very well behaved.
Oh, he's lovely. He's so tame and well behaved.
He was cute, and it was nice for you to spend some time with him.
Yeah, it was a really good night. Did we stay a bit late?
No,
I noticed you got
all
the coffees out, and I was like...
Oh, no, well, you have coffee after a heavy meal just to help digest the food.
Okay.
No, it's not. I don't get coffee. I'm not one of those hosts who gets the coffee out to try and kick everyone out. As you know, my line is, can I get anyone anything else? That means off you go.
You'd use that, though.
As a joke, I think. Okay. Or did I?
Anyway, so...
Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for your
no,
gifts.
No, thank you for having us.
Thank you for your letter. All nice.
When I move into my new house...
Yes.
I'll have yous all around.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have yous all around.
Will we have more Greek food?
No, I'll make, I don't know yet. I'll make like a Sunday roast or something.
So we're coming on a Sunday, are we?
Well, we could have a Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, if you come...
What?
Come on a Thursday, I'll make us a Thursday roast. Bloody hell.
You can't have a roast on a Thursday.
You can.
No, you can't.
You can. I'll make us shakshuka. An omelette.
Anyway, what else has been going on? How's your week?
Yeah, really good, actually. I can't find Ready Break anywhere. It's really pissing me off.
Oh, no.
You know, I like my Ready Break in the morning. For me, I know it's autumn winter when I go on to Guinness and Ready Break.
At the same time?
No, it depends. So I'm fully on the Guinness now.
Okay.
So usually in the summer, I'll be on the long and have one or two Guinness because you can't really drink Guinness in the sun.
Can you not?
You can, but you want a lager, don't you? Fully on the Guinness now. And then I've run out of Ready Break.
And you normally get it in just a conventional supermarket?
Yeah, they haven't got it anywhere. I don't know if there's a shortage.
Could you not just get some porridge oats? And
no,
some milk.
No, it's not the same. Ready Break's smooth, isn't it? It reminds me of my childhood. Porridge oats don't.
You know when you eventually go and see a therapist, talk about Ready Break.
Why?
I think that's a good starting point.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Why?
But, you know, having to eat things regularly that reminds you of your childhood.
Do they?
Mm.
Do you think that's some, like, weird shit going on there?
I think that's at least two sessions.
Well, that I'm 32 and I've ready, but I don't like porridge, it's lumpy.
Lumpy? Are you overcompensating with your accent now that we've, in previous episodes, pulled you up that you might have said 40?
No, I don't like normal porridge.
Okay, well then maybe find another breakfast food. Jean Devers, if you know where Jordan can find ready break, please let us know. Can you order it online? On popular online delivery websites?
I'm not just getting that. It's a bad environment. Just get, I keep going into the shops to find it, and it's got. I just want some ready break.
There's probably a supply chain issue. There is with a lot of things.
Ready break. I know you've had it with a bit of jam in, or ready break with berries, or ready break with raisins, cinnamon, and honey.
It's so versatile, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway,
can I also talk about my ring? I don't have it on me. And I'm just going to flag this now because I know someone will mention it on a TikTok.
You're getting divorced, or
I'm not.
Christ, that lasted long. You're like a bloody Tory minister, you. 2-3 week in jail and you're out.
We don't do politics. I mentioned a few episodes ago that my ring was a bit loose. And they said in the shop, you want it slightly looser for the day because you don't want any dramas. You don't want it to not go on your finger if your fingers get hot or whatever. So, and then I went on honeymoon with it. I didn't touch it. And it, when I was in air conditioning in particular, and obviously they do air conditioning a lot in California, and my fingers were quite narrow, it was falling down a bit. So anyway, I've taken it in to be resized.
Okay.
So that's where it's gone for those. And I do actually feel naked without it. It's weird, having spent most of my life without a ring, then you don't have one on and you feel, I feel lost.
So you're having a tighter ring?
I am having a tighter ring. Well, I'm in the process of having it tightened.
Okay.
I text Mikey, I dropped off the ring and text him with, I still love you.
Oh, bless you.
I felt like I was cheating.
That's so good, bless you.
So that's the ring update for you.
Hey, I went to see Tina Turner this week. Not actual Tina Turner, Tina the musical.
In the West End.
Absolutely fantastic. If you're listening right now and you... Diego's here. If you're listening right now, go and see... Oh, sorry. Diego's tickling me on the desk. Sorry, Joe, do you smell nice? What have you got on, babe? It's Brugetta Veneta. That's my smell, Diego. Oh, it smells gorgeous, babe. Let's go and have a sniff around here. Yeah, went to see Tina, the musical. It is fantastic. If you're ever coming down to London soon, book it and go and see it. It's really good. It's the best musical I've seen.
Oh, Jesus.
It is. And I think I text you at the time, and I know we've got a lot. I know ZZ listens and stuff. So no offence.
And other people.
And other people from
in Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, which William's obsessed with. What did I text you saying?
It makes Mary Poppins look like the Year Six Nativity.
It really does.
I haven't seen Tina, so I can't.
Can I hold you? Can I need you? My heart's on fire. Boom. Oh, you're all up dancing at the end. She had a hard life,
God,
Tina.
It sounds awful.
She had a hard life. She had really hard life.
Yes, I know she did.
It was honestly, the lead who plays Tina, and in the programme, I couldn't find a name. So I don't know who
played it. It probably underneath said Tina.
She was absolutely fantastic. She sounded and looked more like Tina than Tina.
Right.
It was phenomenal. It's a really good show.
What was the crowd like? Because we've talked before about theatre behaviour perhaps not being quite as good as it
used to be. I text you as well. There was a lot of notes up because I imagine, and I might be wrong here, that it attracts a certain clientele, a lot of Wendy's.
Mm.
A lot of mums on Prosecco, on Lady Petrol,
yeah,
on a Friday night with girls. I don't mean that bad. And there's rules that were up. So they had these little posters up everywhere. And it said, how to ensure everyone enjoys the show without distraction. Please don't sing along during the performance. Please don't talk during the performance. Please don't dance in your seats on the aisle. You've paid to watch the cast is due to you. Remember, this is a musical deception of Tina Turner's life, not a concert. Drink responsibly, be aware and all that. But I can imagine I'm going to go
and
back.
Did those notes work?
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine on I'm going to go back on a Friday.
Oh,
with
my God.
With all the girls on Lady Petrol. I love it. I'm going to tap my mum.
I think your mum would love it.
Oh, yeah. My mum and Auntie Kath and everyone would love it. And we're going to get on Lady Petrol, Prosecco. And we're like, be it, we'll keep on turning. Proud Mary, keep on.
There are some good songs in it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Really good.
Mike and I went to go and see, I'm going to say it, we went to go and see Tammy Faye at the Almeida Theatre, which is in Islington.
What's Tammy Faye?
Islington, which is a very, very left-wing in theory, part of London, even though everything is so expensive and really quite nice.
Doesn't Ben live there?
Near, ish. Islington adjacent. He says Islington, depending on who's asking. So I've never encountered this before, but it's in previews when we went to go and see it. And it was about 17 minutes late starting.
Oh,
and they
bad?
Said, yeah, it's really... I mean, no Western show starts bang on 7.30. It's 1 or 2 minutes after.
Oh, is it? It was within 10 minutes. Where are you going with this? Because our shows always start late on tour. Where are you going with this?
Yeah, and that's normally down to the venue bar staff.
We usually start about 20 minutes, sometimes 10.
Yes.
I got mad because I think people... I had a right... Oh, that time I had a right guy. Executive, luxury, his eminence, producer, Stuart.
Yes. About buses. When people have got buses to catch, Stuart!
No, we were about to go on. Sorry to interrupt. Anyway, who's caught his head jacket? It's fine, we've got another half hour. People are at the bar. I went, Stuart! So people have got buses to catch. We can't just go on and it's fine, let's relax. And I still feel really bad. I had a bit of a...
Never mind. He's still speaking to you. But anyway, they announced that the reason for the delay, because they were just waiting for two of the creative team, meaning, you know, maybe someone, the director, the writer, the lighting designer, whoever, to take their seats.
That's rude.
And I thought, hang on, if that's the reason, like, 325 people have paid to come and actually watch this show. It's during the week. The creative team have probably seen the show, one would hope.
That's an ego
Start
thing.
It.
That's an ego thing.
I thought that was really out of order.
It was
a nice show. I enjoyed it. But that annoyed me.
Okay, fair enough.
I just want to get that off my chest.
Get that off the chest.
Finally, before we go on to my etiquette-imology of the week, or whatever we're calling it.
How are we top at comedy charts? I don't bloody know. You tell me.
Can we talk about your nostrils?
Why?
You know, last week, you... said that your party trick is being able to identify people's fragrances.
Yeah.
And then you failed to identify my fragrance.
Yeah.
Well, A, I've put a new one on for you today, see if how much of a party trick it is.
Right.
Secondly, literally 24 hours after that, I went to go and visit my friend Juan. I am standing in his front door, and Ben was actually there as well. And Juan went, oh, he's from Argentina. He went, oh, Christian Dior, Eden Rock. He didn't even smell me. Now that's a party trick.
Right, fine.
So go on, give me a sniff.
This is fucking weird. Oh, I know that one.
This is what you said last week.
Oh, come here. Oh, it's... It's not Sauvage.
No, it's not.
No, it's not Sauvage. Let me have another sniff. Okay. Oh, it's going to... Oh!
Now, think about it. It's a company I wear quite a lot of their products or associate with their brand. If you want the brand.
Hermes.
Yes.
I know the thing you want. It's... I can see the bottle now. It's about...
Describe the bottle, then.
It's not quite green, but it's transparent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's got a gold cap.
And okay.
I don't know the name, but another one.
It's Terre d'Hermes.
Terre d'Hermes. Okay. Half a pint.
So you get half a point for Hermes.
Have we got our AGM tonight? Apparently we have an AGM now, Gene Devers, an annual general meeting.
Yeah, it's just to make sure Jordan's happy, really, and that, you know, his rider and so all that.
So we went for dinner together on Saturday. We did some filming together on Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the morning in Reading. Don't ask, you'll find out soon why. And then we're meeting for our annual general meeting tonight. So it's me.
Yeah, and you. I also saw Ben on Monday. So, I mean, I've seen him four times within 7 days.
Me, you, executive producer Ben, and...
Executive luxury producer Stuart.
Executive luxury, His Eminence producer Stuart. Are we eating?
Are we eating?
Yeah, we're having a meal.
I think we might eat, yes.
Are we having some drinks?
Yeah.
Can I come, guys? Oh, sorry, Diego. There's no dogs allowed where we're going. What a shame. Total bitches. Right. Shall we go to William's etiquette monology of the week?
My what?
Monology? Well, I don't know what you call it.
What are we calling this, Ben?
Etiquette-emology of the week.
Etiquette-emology of the week.
Etiquette-emology of the week.
Trips off the tongue.
So it's just a bit of etiquette tips and advice.
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, it's a bit... It's... For those that aren't familiar with this feature, it's telling you something interesting about the history and customs of an everyday action.
Why didn't we do this when we started five years ago?
Well, I think I sort of did, and I might potentially have done this in one of the back catalogue. But as there have now been over 300 episodes, I really can't remember.
Why didn't we do this? We should have done this ages ago. Anyway, let's get some ads on, and then don't turn over, don't skip, and then we'll find out what... Oh, no, yeah, tell us.
We're working on the feature.
I've had quite a big week. Go on, do your thing. You're doing me head in.
I've had not said anything.
I got accused of being snappy the other day.
And I went, by who? By colleagues? By everyone that you interact with?
And I went, I'm not being snappy, I'm just being northern.
I know a lot of northern people and they're not all snappy.
I'm not saying we're snappy, but if someone's doing your head in, you're like, right, you're doing my head in, now hurry up.
Right.
You get accused of being snappy.
Anyway, back to my etiquette etymology of the week.
Just in my genetics.
There's no jingle as yet, but listeners, you know what to do if you want to write one. No royalties, however. Today we're talking about salt. Now, the etiquette of salt, as you may or may not know, is that you don't sprinkle it all over your food. This is informal dining.
I know where this has cut you, shithouse.
What?
This is because I had loads of salt at your dinner on Saturday, didn't I?
Well, maybe subconsciously it is, but it's not meant to be a dig.
Sorry for cutting you, shithouse.
But the correct etiquette in formal dining is that you put the salt on the rim of the plate in a small little pile, and then you use the tip of your knife to then touch it onto the fork, whatever's loaded up on the fork.
Oh,
you don't chuck it everywhere.
Aren't we meant to... Yeah, right. Yeah. Aren't you meant to tell the definition?
Yeah, and then I'm going to tell you why after the break.
Okay. Great. Carry on.
So that's
this is going well.
Fucking go on.
So that's the etiquette, and I'll tell you why in the history after these messages.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, Gene Divas, thanks for sticking with us. It's William's Etiquette Monology of the Week. What's it called?
Etiquette-imology.
Etiquette-imology of the Week. William's going to give us some etiquette tips and advice, whatever. And now you're going to tell us the reason why you're not meant to sprinkle salt on your food. You're meant to put it on the side of your plate.
Well, historically, and going back to the ancient Roman times, salt was incredibly expensive. And certain people used to be paid in bags of salt because it was so expensive to harvest. Indeed, the Latin word for salt is sal, which is where we get the word salary. So if you were worth your salt, you were worth the money you were paid.
Oh, and the term worth your salt.
Exactly.
That is actually really interesting.
And so to sprinkle around salt willy-nilly all over the shop was considered to be throwing money around. And so you only put it in a little pile, which is why salt pots, if you have a salt and pepper pot, will have one hole because it goes into a small little pile, whereas pepper has several because it's very cheaply produced. And that's where we get the etiquette of salt.
That's really interesting when people say it's worth your salt.
Indeed. I hope that was worth it.
Salary. That was. That was good.
Thank you so much.
I'll sleep tonight now. Shall we go to the...
More in 2 weeks.
Listeners' problems and questions.
Let's go for it.
Okay, here we go. First one, please.
Hello, William Hansen and Jordan North. How formal. Apologies if a similar scenario has already been answered. I've only just discovered the podcast and I'm only up to season 3.
Let me guess, you've met shagging a watermelon, you've met your dad on Grindr, or you've had sex with someone...
with a superhero.
Dressed as Spider-Man that's technically related to you.
I have a friend who is a compulsive white liar.
Oh, okay.
A white liar. Okay, that's interesting. So, a white lie, technically not as severe as a lie in popular belief. Really stupid... Really stupid things that are harmless in the grand scheme of things. For example, saying he went out for dinner when I know he stayed home. Is that his flu vaccination or COVID vaccination? I suspect the tales are rooted in anxiety or insecurity, but it is really obvious that it is a lie to myself and others, and he will forget who he has told a story to and will end up telling multiple versions in front of the same person.
Why are you... What? I don't lie.
Imagine having a friend like that. His tales also... the producer's on the floor.
I'm going to get wound up here.
His tales also frequently stray into the territory of someone else's industry or expertise. And when they explain that what he is saying is impossible or improbable, he either tries to backtrack or doubles down and says, I know, they told me I was the only person they'd ever heard of this happening to. How do I tell him that his lies are really obvious to everyone? For his sake, and more importantly, because I find it really annoying. Many thanks, Jenny.
He's not a white liar, he's a Billy Bullshitter. What?
Okay, well...
Why? I'm not a Billy Bullshitter.
I'm laughing.
You just can all piss off.
I haven't said a word.
I feel like you're bothering it. White lies are like... A white lie is a lie to say something. So, like, if you said, Jordan, does my makeup look okay? I'd be like, it looks absolutely lovely.
Yes.
Ben might say, Jordan, did you enjoy my company on Saturday night? I'd be like, I'm so glad you was there. That's a white lie. Or... A lie that wouldn't upset someone.
Is 32 too old to wear a hoodie? No, of course it's not.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Billy bullshitting is like someone, it's like Javon in between us.
Okay.
I think you've just got to do the old, you've just got to go back to school year 10 and just do that.
Yeah.
Can you smell bullshit? I can smell bullshit. And well, that, just do that every now and then. And it's harsh, but it puts them in the place.
I may not use those words, but I kind of like your approach with humour and sort of trying to diffuse it with humour. That's what I would do. I think call him out.
I don't bullshit.
All right, it's not about you. It's about Jenna's friend called Jordan. And I would...
I might add a pinch of salt to a story to make it...
You're not supposed to put a pinch of salt. You're meant to put a small little pile on the edge of your plate. But Jenny, I would... call it out. But that said, if... I think with any sort of lie, whether it's a light white lie or a full lie, as it were, sometimes if you are lying to yourself, you can sometimes believe it as well, and people sort of live the lie or actually forget, particularly if it's a lie that's carried on over months and months and months, they can sort of forget what is true and what isn't.
Call him out with humour.
Call him out with humour. Be compassionate. Maybe he does need help. I don't know.
Just say, like, I've got a mate that's like this, and you just got to say... Oh, you're so full of shit. That didn't happen.
Or, I'm not sure I believe you. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go down the shit route.
Yeah. You're full of shit, you.
I'm not sure I believe you.
Do you want another drink? God, you don't half bullshit, you.
I'm not sure I believe you. Mm. More wine. This one is from Matt. Dear William Jordan and executive producer Ben, I need to ask William and Jordan for their thoughts on a problem. I should explain that I'm one of your older G&D divas and cringed listening to the episodes when you both hit 30, as I recently hit 50. But I can assure you, life is still as bewildering further down the tracks.
I love being in my 30s.
Do you? Yeah, you're accepting it now.
Happiest I've ever been this.
That people do say when you get into your 30s, life's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I became very good friends with a lad I met at college. I was 17 and he was a year older. We became best mates with shared interests in music, cars and motorsport. Life was fun, learning to drive, first cars, road trips, holidays, drinking, etc. We did become dependent on each other, talking through problems, whether work-related or girlfriends or deeper stuff. That dependence developed, discreetly, into a physical closeness. Not full-on, but a very close physical relationship. Over time, I was his best man, as he met a lovely girl and they settled down. However, the close friendship we enjoyed continued. Given that this was over 25 years ago, what was acceptable in society then was very different to now. We talked about buying a house together in the future, but laughed it off as ludicrous. I remember being parked up in his car one evening and having to duck down so the other car passing by thought I might be a girl and not a lad. After a few years, my friend was divorced and, feeling guilty that our friendship might have been a factor, when he met a new girlfriend, I began to distance myself to give him a chance to enjoy a happy life. Over time, we lost touch. Earlier this year, I heard he had died of skin cancer. I attended his funeral, and after the service, I was approached by his first wife. We chatted and shared memories. Towards the end of the conversation, she looked me straight in the eye and said she knew exactly how much he needed our friendship. The look on her face and intensity of expression left me in no doubt she knew everything. I didn't know what to say, but we hugged and vowed to keep in touch. So my problem is this. Should I leave things be, or should I make contact with her to follow up? What would you do? Yours sincerely, Matt.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I might cry. Oh, that's really sad.
Well, it's the road not taken, and, you know, the big
picture. Do you think they loved each other?
Yes.
Oh.
And I think it was more than a sort of a friendly love, like we would have with our friends. I think there probably was a sort of a deeper romantic love there.
Oh, I feel really sad at that, Matt. What a lovely letter.
It is a lovely letter.
Oh, I've got all goosebumps.
You know, and I know there's still some progress to go, but actually, generally, in the grand scheme of things, life is a lot better and a lot easier for people who may have unconventional, by the sort of the accepted norms of society, feelings. So that's the positive from this. What I would do, Matt, is yes, I would make contact with that first wife.
I agree.
You don't need to become the first wife's best friend and sort of see them all the time, but even if you just meet once a year and chat and share the memories and keep the memory of your friend alive, I think that's a really nice idea. And if the first wife doesn't want to do it, she can always say no.
Could be comforting.
I think that's lovely. And how lovely of that first wife.
What a lovely letter. Best of luck. And yeah, definitely keep in touch. Why not? Unless it's too painful for you.
Yeah, yeah, if you feel that you're able to do it and able to talk about it, then do that. Because it might help. Actually, talking about things often does help. Not talking about things doesn't.
Mm.
This next letter is from an anonymous. My girlfriend and I have an argument almost every time we go out to eat anywhere nice over when it is okay to go to the toilet. She says it's fine to go if the food is being eaten is cold, whereas I strongly think it's only ever okay to go when there is no food on the table. Oh, who is right?
That's a great question.
Well, over to Britain's second leading etiquette expert, Jordan North.
I would say if there's food at the table, it's probably not best to go.
Even if it's cold?
Yeah, I'd say go in between courses or before the food arrives. You're speaking to someone here that...
Yes.
Wheeze a lot.
You're a urological person of interest.
No, it's just if I'm out, once you've brought the seal.
Oh, don't just
no,
say
it's a well-known fact.
Okay.
If you have a pint, you piss a pint, don't you?
Well, I don't know.
Once you've brought the seal... It's like well known.
They always say that if you drink room temperature drinks or let's just talk about water. If you drink room temperature water, the body absorbs it more. Whereas if you drink ice cold water, the body doesn't, and that's when you need to go for a wee.
That might make sense, yeah. Because when I drink Guinness extra cold, I wee more.
There we go. Because your body's not absorbing it as quickly.
That makes sense. But what was I going to say there? That's a really good point. What were we doing?
When to go to the loo? When the food's cold?
Yeah, I'd say in between courses.
Well, if you like the actual etiquette, technically in very formal dining, you don't leave the table at all. You remain seated at the table for the duration of the meal. But for more relaxed dining, you can go after the main course, before the pudding, once people have ordered their pudding. Because normally when you say, you know, sticky toffee pudding, tarte au citron, you've done your order, there's a bit of a delay whilst the kitchen's preparing that, and that is the time to go.
Oh, okay.
But I would definitely not go when there is any food on the table, going back to this correspondence letter, whether it's cold or hot, if people are still eating. Don't. Eating is meant to be a communal experience. We start and stop at the same time. And so go when there is no food on the table, after the main course, before the pudding.
You know when girls are on the period and they live together and then apparently they all sink together? Have you heard about is that the right term? They come in sync? They all start their menstrual cycle at the same time.
Oh.
Did you know about that? If they live together?
No.
So I think it's the same for lads, but at work, like every week I'm on sync with someone. Every time I go to toilets, there'll be the same person in there. So say I go into work, I get into work.
That's called cottaging.
I get into work about 2 o'clock, leave about 6:30. Mm. Right? I reckon once or twice a day I'll see the same person there and we'll both have a wee at the same time.
Okay.
And we're like, go in. And then you're like, oh, hey, Pam. And then you think, oh, I've seen him an hour ago.
Never forget a face.
Don't know what to say now. You're watching Liverpool at the weekend. Yeah. Anyway.
Nice.
That's my theory.
Well, that's... Thanks for that story.
There's a guy here.
Yeah?
Where we record podcast. I see him.
Mm-hmm.
I've just seen him before. Really nice guy. Short hair. Short curly hair.
Okay.
See him every time I go for a wee.
Oh, that's nice. We'll put him on your Christmas card list.
He works for the... They're a tech company. No, they're not tech. Engineering company.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway.
That's nice. This one is from Jasmine. Dear William Jordan and producer Ben, I have never really found myself with a situation to write in until I was recently at a concert. Will Young at the Villa Marina in the Isle of Man.
I think I better leave right now before falling deeper. I like William.
Did you watch Pomp Idol?
I voted for Gareth.
Oh.
Who did you vote for?
Will.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you actually?
Yeah. My father probably voted 100 times.
He's probably voting for Abby Clancy still, isn't he?
I was Team Will. Anyway, for a bit of context, I'm 20 years old. 20 years old and you're at a Will Young concert.
All right.
Sorry.
Sorry, Jasmine, that's really horrible.
I'm now being looked at by the entire studio.
It's a bit harsh.
Even Diego's giving me the evils.
I went to watch Leo Sayer the other week.
Leo Sayer?
Yeah.
He's still alive.
How I feel thunder in my heart. He was great.
Yeah, that's the only song I think of where he's done.
No, he's got loads.
Okay.
I'm a one-man band. Oh, he was cracking.
Good. Anyway, sorry, Jasmine. You do you. I'm 20 years old who was at a concert with my family. Oh, I see. And we had a row. We had a row A seats. Oh, we had a row.
Sorry.
For a bit of context, I'm 20 years old and was at the concert with my family. We had row A seats in the upper seating area. We all really enjoyed the concert and spending time together along with not being on any mobile device. However, from the start to the end of the performance, a lady in her early 60s, it's more like it, who was sitting right next to us, was recording nearly every song and...
Told you, they say it's kids on the phones. It's always the mums and nans. They're a bloody nightmare on the phones. Texting, filming...
Sending videos to
sending
their friends.
Sending videos. It's mums and not all mums. It's people in the older generation.
Well, wait for this. Yet, it gets worse as during the second song, the lady started FaceTiming her friend.
Oh, God.
So when we were looking at the stage, we were also looking at some random woman bopping her head around on her phone. This really annoyed me. As her friend should have paid for a ticket if she wanted to see the show. I wanted to say something to her, however, I did not know what to say and didn't want to be the talk of the town in the rows behind us. Along with WhatsApp, she started emailing videos off and then started re-watching her recordings when Will was singing a song that she did not want to record. I found this so rude as it was just a distraction for everyone next to and behind her, and for the majority of the show, she was on her brightly lit phone. My question is, what should we have done? And what should we say next time if this happened? Thank you for bringing delight into my life since discovering your podcast. You are both so funny and you always get me smiling through the stressful days of my final year at university. Best wishes, Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine, thank you. Good luck with your... let's do that again. Oh, Jasmine, thank you. Good luck with the rest of your studies. It's so annoying when people are on the phones in the cinema, isn't it?
It's just not needed.
What would you say?
Well, as I have got older, I am, and Mikey is actually very good at picking people up now. I feel more confident in picking people up, but I can associate. You know, I can associate with Jasmine. She's 20. She feels less confident. But I think if you are at whatever age you are going to sort of pull someone up, you have to do it with confidence, and you have to keep it short, and you have to keep it polite but firm. Don't use swear words.
Yeah.
Don't resort to names. Just say, "Turn your phone off, please."
Really, that.
And
please, can you turn your phone off? We're trying to watch this.
If needs be, get out your seat. I know you're going to then miss it. And go and find an usher, tell them what they're doing, and it's the usher's responsibility.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
It's a distraction. You shouldn't FaceTime. Yes, the person on FaceTime.
At a concert and Harry Styles and stuff, like, they've all got their phones out, and a lot of them stream it on TikTok and stuff, don't they? I think if it's like a chilled sit-downy concert, which I assume Will Young's would be, then maybe not.
I'm not familiar with the Villa Marina and the Isle of Man.
A performance, like a West End show, but a concert, it's all right. I would say at a concert, maximum 3 to 5 videos. Do it 30 seconds long and get off your phone. Enjoy it.
Just be in the moment.
Enjoy it. I know.
Be in the moment.
But everyone says it's this younger generation or that. It's bloody mums. They're always on the pigging phones.
Yeah.
Oh, Janice, I love this at work. Hang on. With that, they've all got the same phone, that bloody wallet phone. Like that. Open it up like a book. Bloody glasses on end at nose. Like that. Oh, it's on FaceTime.
Marvellous. Well, thank you for those letters.
Is that it?
That's it for today.
Remember, you can send your... Remember, you can send your tales of trepidation to help@sexwithmyboss.com, or you can tweet us or send us a message on Instagram @sexwithmyboss. You're more than welcome to send any boxes of Ready Breck to our address, which is on the website.
Ferraris, Maserati.
You can write to William as well. He promises a handwritten reply in his own letter to paper. The address is on the website, sexwithmyboss.com.
And talking of handwritten letters, I can see a huge great big pile over there on executive producer Ben's desk. I will get round to them. So if you've written in recently, I'm on it. I haven't forgotten. I'll write to you soon.
See you on Friday.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.